Hey guys, I'm giving a speech to the Libertarian Party in Rhode Island on October the 27th, and then November the 3rd with Ron Paul and Lou Rockwell and a bunch of others down there in Lake Jackson. Jeff Deist and all that Mises Institute are having me out to give a talk about media stuff, and that's November the 3rd down there in Lake Jackson. If you like Ron Paul events and you're nearby, I'll see you there. For Pacifica Radio, November 4th, 2018. I'm Scott Horton. This is Anti-War Radio. All right, y'all, and I am Scott Horton here for Anti-War Radio every Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 on KPFK 90.7 FM in LA. I'm the author of the book Fool's Errand, Time to End the War in Afghanistan, and the editorial director of antiwar.com. All right, y'all, introducing Nasser Arabi from Yemen Now. That's yemenalan.com, a reporter from Sana'a, Yemen. Welcome back to the show, Nasser. How you doing?
Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you very much for having me.
Very happy to have you on the air here. So where do you want to start with the battle going on at the Hodeida port?
Well, wherever you want to start, I'm ready. But nothing new in Hodeida. It's the same thing as I told you 4 months or 5 months ago. The same thing, and exactly as I told you, what happened is exactly what I told you 4 or 5 months ago. There, nothing.
Yeah. So now, I guess the recent report is that they're about to send. They say they're sending 10,000 more troops. Saudi troops, but they say they're mostly going to be Sudanese to try to back up the UAE efforts there. While, of course, at the same time, I'm sure you've seen that Mattis and Pompeo both are calling for a ceasefire to begin 30 days from now, I guess after this latest battle is their plan.
Nothing is new in Hodeida. And what they talk about, the amassing the new soldiers from Sudan or from wherever, they just wanted to say that we are still controlling Hodeida and we are holding strong guards on Yemenis because they failed. They completely failed. And they know that they are already now in that bottomless quagmire and they can't get out easily. So, and because of the calls, of the American calls from Mattis and Pompeo to end the war in one, or to for ceasefire actually in 1 month, is also something that is just a phony stuff, I think, nothing new in it. So, generally, I would tell you that Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates are just stuck in Yemen and they are now looking for a solution and they know very well that any negotiated solution will not be in their interest. And they, at the same time, they can't continue a military solution. They can't succeed. They can't win because they know very well what they are facing and what the steadfastness of Yemenis for four years now, what it means. So they try to have an exit now, but they don't know what is it and how to do to make it. They are also very screwed up. They don't know what to do and what they want.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly seems to be the case, although at least, I mean, for Mattis and Pompeo to be calling for talks and a ceasefire means they are at least finally recognizing, they must have known all along, but now at least they're officially recognizing that they can't win, that the goal, exactly. If the goal ever was to reinstall Hadi, that is impossible, they're going to have to come up with something else.
Exactly, this is what is happening, and they... When they said Mr. Pompeo and Mattis admitted one important thing that the Emirates never admitted that they said, I mean, Bombayo and Mattis said that Houthi must stop the missiles, the missile attacks and the drone attacks on Riyadh and Abu Dhabi. This is very new in what they said, because Abu Dhabi until now did not admit that the drone attacks hit Abu Dhabi. And this is good for the Houthis, of course, and because the Emirates did not admit until now. And also at the same time, I want to tell you that they, I mean, their state, in their statements, the both secretaries, Secretary of Defense and Secretary of State, of the state, they wanted to help Saudis and Emiratis, because they know that there is no solution. But at the same time, Saudis still see that any negotiated solution is not in their interest at all, because it will be any negotiated solution will be like a victory for Houthis here in Yemen. So Riyadh wants new terms or something like this. They don't know what is it. I think what's going to happen is that if the American officials are serious, they would do something. They would do something. The first step that the Americans could do is to stop or to end the American participation in this war. And immediately the Saudis would stop. Otherwise, if they just keep stating and talking about talks of the talks, they would not, nothing would happen at all. And they would do nothing, I'm sure.
Right. I mean, it really does seem to be important that for them to even admit these things is to go to show that they must have had a change in strategy now. And I guess this is because of Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia, and his overreach in the torture and murder of this Washington Post reporter. Finally, you know, where Yemeni lives have been statistics all this time, they finally, you know, they hit a made guy in the Washington Post mob. And so that really, you know, pushed it too far. And that cost the last of their support for this war in Washington, D.C., it looks like.
Yes, it looks like this, because, you know, the Americans also, the senior officials wanted to help Saudis, because they know now the pressure is very huge on Saudis after that heinous murder of the journalist inside the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, because it's a big thing and the pressure is still rising and everywhere. So the Saudi clown prince, if I can say, is very screwed up and he doesn't know what to do, because everyone is pointing at him, because something like this would not have happened if he did not order. But everybody knows that he ordered, of course, because he's holding everything and he's holding all the levers of the power. And how those people can carry out such an important assassination without his orders. So the American officials, unfortunately, seem to be helping him or to be reducing the pressure from him. But if they want to really, if they want to help him, helping Mohammed bin Salman will start from ending the war of Yemen, because everything that is happening to Mohammed bin Salman now is related to Yemen war, because the big problem is what is he doing in Yemen? Because, right, you know, the pressure that happened after that murder, because the people saw who Mohammed bin Salman is, because he did that heinous murder against a journalist. But the world should know that Mohammed bin Salman has been doing even worse and worse in Yemen for 4 years now in Yemen. So,
well, it's at an incredible expense. And of course, provoking missile attacks by the Houthi government against even Riyadh, which of course had never happened before. He brought the war to the capital city of Saudi Arabia. That's not how it was supposed to happen. So, yeah, pretty clear there's a lot of dissent inside the royal family in Saudi right now over this. So
I think there is something, I would add something. There is a pressure now inside the Congress about this, because the Congress people in particular now, because, you know, I've been observing what they have been doing from the very beginning. But now the timber and the disposition of the Congress people is completely different, because now they talk completely different than they were talking about the Yemen war, I mean, about the Saudi aggression on Yemen. So they want now, they feel that it's a big shame, it's a disgrace that they continue to help such a war criminal in Saudi Arabia, who's like a monster, who's mm-hmm. doing all these things to his people and to just journalists. And so... Right.
And I don't know if you saw this, Nasser, but they even did a big thing in the New York Times 2 or 3 days ago with a lot of pictures of starving children and this kind of thing. And I think they don't mention the American role in there at all, really, or in the most minimal sense. They blame it all on Saudi Arabia, which I thought is probably fine if that propaganda is a means of really backing out of support for them. That, you know, this really has gone too far now.
Yes, it's only for journalists. I helped them. It's only for journalists now who made it to Yemen from the New York Times, from the New York Times magazine, and from the New York Times newspaper. And it's what you saw now is only the newspaper. Tomorrow, you will see the magazine. It's also a big thing. You will see, and everyone will see.
You helped them when they came there, huh? I know you used to write for the New York Times.
I did everything, and I want to call now every journalist to tell them that it's completely different. Anyone can go now. Anyone can come over to Yemen to see what's happening. Because, you know, we could convince our officials here that that allowing journalists to come to Yemen is a big thing. And this is what happened with the New York Times, the newspaper and the magazine. Only tomorrow or in the few hours, in the few coming hours, the new big article will come out from the New York Times magazine with a lot of unique pictures also. And they will know, the Congress people and everyone would know what's happening in Yemen. And we want everyone also to come. I think there are a lot of people are coming to Yemen to know what's going on, and they will know that during the 4 years, every day there have been Khashoggi or journalist Khashoggi being dismembered and being cut into pieces, even more heinous than what happened to Khashoggi. So this is what we want the world to know. And the Congress people started to know. They, of course, I know that they now talk more strongly because of what they saw in New York Times newspaper, and because of what they are going to see in the New York Times magazine, and because of what they saw, what happened to the journalist Khashoggi. This is a criminal. It is a criminal. It's not a crown prince or clown prince, actually. So he's not, he's a criminal. He's very dangerous to anyone, as I've been telling you all the time.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, the best ways to donate to the show are patreon.com. $5 a month will get you keys to the Reddit group. $1 per interview will get you 2 free audiobooks from Listen and Think Audio. And then if you want to donate at scotthorton.org/donate, anybody who donates $50 gets a signed book, and $100 will get you a QR code silver commodity disc or a lifetime subscription to Listen and Think audiobooks at listenandthink.com. And yes, I take all your digital currencies and all that too. So there you go. Find out all about that at scotthorton.org/donate and patreon.com/scotthortonshow. Well, and now I'm sure you're familiar too with this study by ACLED Data, ACLED Data. According to them, they're really confirming your work, sir, that 50,000 Yemenis, at least, have been killed. And that's in violent attacks. That does not count babies starving to death. That doesn't count the thousands killed from cholera. That doesn't count the hunger and the famine and the rest.
I emailed them or I tweeted something to them and telling them that it's okay. And they did a great job. But it's also 50,000 is much less than the reality.
Yeah, that must be obsolete now because you told me 50,000, I think, more than a year ago.
Yeah, yes, exactly. Exactly.
Well, but then again, compared to what the typical narrative is, that it's like 10,000 still somehow magically.
Yes, this is the big thing. This is the big shame. There's the UN keeps saying 10,000 for four years. This is good evidence on what they are doing. Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, I think anybody who's just watched the news through the terror wars and the casualty counts over time can tell that that couldn't be right after 3.5, almost 4 years of air war here. It's certainly, and ground war as well. It's certainly much higher than that. It has to be. And now, but here's the thing that people might remember this from the days of Iraq War 1.5 under Bill Clinton, when it was the sanctions regime, the UN blockade against Iraq. And so there were the no-fly zone bombings during that time, but those casualties were in the hundreds, and they were horrible, but they were in the hundreds. But it was the casualties from the economic blockade that could only be measured in what they call excess deaths, where they compare the death rate over time to how it was previously. And of course, how it was previously in Iraq was already really bad in the Iran-Iraq war and all of that. And they came up with somewhere between 300,000 and 500,000 dead children from the sanctions regime at that time. And so that's the kind of study that has never taken place in Yemen during this war that we won't know. That if whatever exactly the numbers of killed in the violent attacks, that when it comes down to it, we already can see from the hunger and the starvation and the deliberate destruction of civilian infrastructure, food infrastructure, water, sewage, electricity, and hospitals and all of these things by the U.S. Saudi regime here, that the excess death rate, we're going to find that hundreds of thousands of people have died in this conflict in the last 3.5, 4 years here. No question about it.
Everyone now knows it's the worst humanitarian crisis in the world. And I would add, it's the most expensive Saudi-made famine. I mean, Saudi Arabia is spending on this famine, on this man-made famine, on Saudi-made famine. They spend billions and billions of dollars to starve Yemenis. This is what is happening. It's not easy. It's not just blockade them. No, blockade Yemenis. No, but spend money, spend billions and billions to starve Yemenis. And this is very, very strange war and very strange, dirty war that Saudi Arabia is waging on Yemen.
Yeah. All right. Now, so can I ask you a little bit about the UAE-Saudi split on the ground there? I know that they're working closely together and they have some interests in line, but they also have competing interests there. And I guess, am I right, Nasser, to understand that even though the Saudis hate the Muslim Brotherhood in all circumstances, they favor the Muslim Brotherhood faction here, the Islah faction, where the United Arab Emirates prefers Al-Qaeda and the Islamic State as their, you know, one of their factions on the ground that they're using in the fight against the Houthi government there. So could you delve into that a little bit for us and clarify, please, sir?
Let me tell you a very important thing in your audience, Scott. It's a time bomb. It's a time bomb between UAE, or United Arab Emirates, and Saudi Arabia. It's just like it's a marriage of convenience, as I always told you. So what we are seeing on the ground is completely different than what they say. It's a big difference. It's a big dispute. I mean, they a lot of differences, a lot of things that they disagree with. For example, let me just tell you, it's not just a brotherhood and the Kai diocese. Brotherhood is, yes, is a big thing because it's like a common between them, but brotherhood are based in Riyadh. But no one, no brotherhood, no single brotherhood in Abu Dhabi or in Emirates. No one. So all of them are in Riyadh. All of them are in Riyadh. And the people who are helping Saudi Arabia on the ground from Yemenis are brotherhood from here. And no one, no single one on the ground helping United Arab Emirates. Who is helping United Arab Emirates from the ground in Yemen? It's only who? Qaeda and ISIS or Salafis. Salafis only or separatists in the south. So it's a big thing. And not only this, but also what United Arab Emirates wants is completely different than what Saudi Arabia wants. And they are, you know, they are in opposite ways. I mean, they are in conflict. They don't meet in a lot of things. So it's just now because there is no in this in what is called the Arab coalition. It is not Arab coalition. It's Saudi Emirati. But also Saudi Emirati are not in harmony. They are not in, you know, they have a lot of differences. There are a lot of problems. They have different agendas and all these things. And what we see is the evidence. For example, now in Aden, they have the council or ruling council and for the separatists that does not recognize even the legitimacy of Hadi, the legitimacy of the coalition. They want separation and they want autonomy. They want independence, and this is what they want in the south. And they I mean, no one of them gives a damn to what they call the coalition or restoring the legitimacy or something like this. So they are in a big problem, in a real problem here. Mm.
And now, so when you mentioned the southern separatists, I mean, there's a whole socialist faction there that's backed by the UAE that I gather is also fighting Al-Qaeda. They couldn't really ally with Al-Qaeda at the same time. So, but they're also fighting the Houthis, right?
Yes, they are fighting Houthis, but they are not. They are done with Houthis. They were fighting when Houthi was in Aden, but now they are in the south separatists are in problem with Qaeda, of course, because Qaeda look at them as kafir. You know, kafir is disbeliever or someone who apostates. You know, so Qaeda is in. Is the enemy also of the socialists, because they look at the socialists as kafir.
The socialists are relying on the United Arab Emirates. That's also backing Al Qaeda, though, right?
Yes, this is the contradictions that make one believe that United Arab Emirates is doing very mess and big mess and something that it can't get away with it easily, because it's a big problem. I mean, it's a big problem. It's only it's money that covers up. Otherwise, it would be exposed to everyone. Mm-hmm.
Now, Nasser, it's also said that Trump has authorized a vast escalation of the war against Al-Qaeda, you know, in terms of the drone wars and presumably special operations forces on the ground that I know we've seen in at least two major occasions, one where they killed Anwar al-Awlaki's daughter in a raid there, and one, I believe, Navy SEAL was killed. But I wonder how much evidence of that do you see, that the U.S., at the same time that they're backing Saudi and UAE's war that is, in essence, for al-Qaeda against their primary competition, the Houthis, that at the same time they are doing drone strikes and attempting to destroy the organization too.
Who would they target now, please, Scott? Who would they target? Now, the people who are called or who are labeled Qaeda, ISIS, are within, in a way or another, are within the army or within the forces of United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia, who would Trump target? Who would he target? No one is there. Everyone is inside what they call the national army or the security belts or whatever. They just go there and get enlisted and get their salaries, and you call them whatever you want to call. So Trump is played. Trump is deceived. Trump is he doesn't know what's happening on the ground, because if he thinks that he's still fighting Qaeda, he's wrong, completely wrong, because Qaeda now is under the cover of the Emirates forces and Saudi forces. Yes, there are many factions with Saudi Arabia and factions with United Arab Emirates, but all of them are under them. And you can't just come from United States or from wherever to target their people. And of course, this happened many times. And when it happened, when Trump took office in January 2017, and he did that his operation here against Qaeda people, the Saudis and Emiratis people, or the Saudis and Emiratis backed people from Yemen, they denounced that, and they said, "You killed our people. You killed the best of the best fighters of ours." And this is what's happening. So you can't say that you are fighting Qaeda when there is no Qaeda now. No, the elements of Qaeda are inside their armies and their camps, and you can't come and bomb these camps at all. And this is what. This is why we are saying that Trump is misled and misinformed.
Yep. Well, you know, there's a guy named Michael Horton, who's no relation to me. He's an expert from the Jamestown Foundation and occasional writer for the American Conservative magazine. And back in 2015, when, you know, the major part of the war started, that March, I think it was, you know, right then, Michael Horton told the great journalist Mark Perry that we are quite literally flying as Al-Qaeda's air force in Yemen, which of course means that our Navy is floating, is at the service of Ayman al-Zawahiri, the butcher of New York City. Again, just like America, the same role that America played in the Libya war of 2011 and the Syria war of 2011 through, say, 15 or so. And backing these forces there, 16.
You nailed it down. You nailed it. You nailed it now. Very good. Thank you very much. You helped me. Yes, this is what's happening. I mean, this is...
Because
this
they hate Iran more, and they blame the Houthis on Iran, Nasser.
Exactly. This is the problem. This is the problem. Trump hates Iran blindly. But unfortunately, even Iran is gaining. Iran is benefiting. Iran is benefiting from Trump and from Saudi and from Emirates, and they are benefiting. Iran is benefiting, not losing at all. You see, this is the problem. Always keeps backfiring on them. Always, anything they do. Because yeah. Why? Because they believe someone like Mohammed bin Salman and Mohammed bin Zayed. Someone who kills in front of you, and then he says, "No, it's not me. I didn't do it." And this is what he's doing in Yemen. This is what he's doing in Yemen. Exactly as what he did in Istanbul by dismembering that journalist. He's doing in Yemen the same thing, but unfortunately, enough attention is received here in Yemen. Unfortunately, because of the Saudi money. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, Scott. Now, I'm now more happy than I was, because we are feeling the victory. We are feeling the good fruits of our patience and of our resilience and because of our also faith in our issue. And now we feel that Saudi Arabia is looking for an exit, but they don't know what is it, because for us as I told you, it's our country, and we will be, of course, we will, we should be tolerated with everyone, coexist with every Yemeni, but until Saudis and Emirates are completely defeated, and I think this defeat is very soon now, because this is what I understood from the statements of the Americans yesterday, because it means a lot. The right. American, the statement of the Americans official, they mean a lot to us because we know what it means to them. Because right. So they look for an exit for their allies, for Mohammed bin Salman, Mohammed bin Zayed, who are stuck.
All right. Well, listen, man. Thank you so much for coming back on the show, Nasser.
Thank you very much, Scott. Thank you very much for your interest in Yemen, and you help us a lot. Thank you very much.
All right, you guys, that is Nasser Arabi, again, from Sana'a, Yemen. All right, y'all, and that's Anti-War Radio for this morning. Thanks very much for listening. I'm your host, Scott Horton. You can find my full interview archive, more than 4,800 interviews now going back to 2003, at scotthorton.org. And I'm here every Sunday morning from 8:30 to 9 on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A. See you next week.